This meeting is now being recorded.
Welcome, this is Ram Mohan. Today is Tuesday, 5th March 2019 at 1700 UTC, and we are in the last meeting of the Technical Study Group on Access to Non-Public Registration Data prior to the ICANN meeting coming up in Kobe, ICANN 64 coming up in Kobe. The agenda for this meeting is to work on the outstanding comments that are remaining in our document. And once we are done with that, then we can look at what we plan to do in Kobe in terms of the presentations. So with that said, Yvette, if you could bring up the Google Doc, and for those of you who want to work collaboratively, probably the best thing to do is to go directly into the Google Docs folder and to work right there. And I see Yvette has brought it up, but it's probably much easier to just work directly in Google Docs. I'll wait for a moment for folks to get on Google Docs, and then we'll go from there.
Ram, we're keeping the Google Doc up on the screen just so those who view the recording can see what work is going on, since they don't have access.
Okay, excellent. The document that we are looking at is called RDAP Technical Model Outline Working Draft. There is a raft of comments in there. What I would like to do is to focus our time here on the call on what our group here might consider to be substantive issues. I do not want to encourage us to look through and do an edit. A copy edit of the document. There is very little value in that, and it's a very low, it's actually the kind of thing that'll make me want to go and bang my head on the wall. So, and I'm hoping it'll be the same for many of you. And so what I'd like to do is, therefore suggest, a particular order in which we go through this document. Again, I think the easiest thing is for you to get into the Google Doc directly. Francisco has helpfully provided some comments on issues that may require more discussion. So I want to start with those topics, and then as we go along, I'd certainly encourage all of us to add their thoughts and opinions. So the first and Francisco, I'm going to quote directly from the email you had sent me privately. So the first one that I want to take us to is on what's the page number? Page 3. Under assumptions, there's a comment on assumption 9. The RDAP profile working group will complete its RDAP profile work, and such output would be ratified through the appropriate processes. The question Francisco had asked was, what are we referring to? Andy had said it refers to us, the TSG. Jody had said it actually refers to phase 2 of the RDAP profile group. So I'd like to open that up and see if folks have a specific point of view. Scott.
So Scott Hollenbeck here. I think this assumption is actually referring to the work of the pilot working group, which just completed recently, and that particular profile was published. I'm pretty sure that's the assumption we were making, RDAP pilot working group.
That's my recollection also, Scott. Okay. Can we change that then to RDAP pilot working group? And mark the rest of the things as resolved, unless anybody else has any comments. Andy, Jody, Francisco, any comments on this?
Yes, I think the RDAP pilot group, I think, was in the first instance. So the RDAP pilot working group profile will complete its work or something like that. It doesn't read right the way it's written now, is it?
Does this sound good now?
Just one more thing. What is that thing about being ratified through the appropriate process? Perhaps we just remove that.
Well, I'll tell you what I had in mind, Francisco, on that. I thought that just the RDAP profile pilot working group publishing the profile is, of course, that is a useful expectation. But the real assumption we're making is that whatever RDAP profile that is actually published will get accepted and will be the RDAP profile that we can depend upon for use. So I think that second phrase is actually quite important.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to mark all of those as resolved. Let's go to any other questions on this topic? Okay, none. Let's move to number 11 on the assumptions. I don't want to read what's already in the comments. Andy has suggested rewording this assumption to say the solution will be compatible and recommend the use of best current practices with regards to the handling and processing of data in accordance with industry practices for information security. Wow, Andy, you are in a verbose mood.
Sometimes I'm good. So, I mean, does anyone object to it being changed? That was just proposal, so I'm not falling on my sword over anything. But I kind of agreed with Francisco's comment.
I was suggesting to remove this one because we already have the requirements in Section 8, so what's the use of having that? An assumption.
I'm also good with that, too.
Okay. I'm also good with deleting it altogether. Any objection to deleting current assumption number 11 altogether? Okay, everybody says it's good to go. It's gone. Okay, let's go to let me see here. How about we go to page 4 under system requirements. Francisco is asking, should we add a requirement or assumption that all subsystems will run on both V4 and V6? Andy has already said that's a good idea. Does anybody have an objection to adding V4 and V6 as a system requirement? I see nobody objecting to that, so why don't we say all, what is the subsystem here? You said subsystem, Francisco. What is a subsystem?
Components.
Yes.
We just say the system's components?
Sure, level.
Okay, let's go to Francisco said, the next thing you said was on page number 5, there's a item 2b, and you said we wanted to change ICANN RDAP proxy to something else, and Andy suggested RDAP proxy server.
So, Ram, to be clear, I thought we had agreed upon that, and maybe I was mistaken about where when we are doing it. I was just putting that out as what I thought the suggest correct thing is, but I really don't
understand.
Know. So.
Well, we get to make the name, so is there anybody who has a more creative suggestion than the ICANN RDAP proxy server?
This is Francisco. So the word that I was hoping we would remove is proxy. I think someone had suggested a gateway. I had suggested central access point or clearinghouse. I don't have a strong preference. Just the word proxy. I think Jonah had mentioned that could be confused in some other circles.
So ICANN RDAP gateway server?
Can we drop
or just ICANN RDAP gateway?
Yes, I think that works for me.
God loves it not. Do folks have any strong feelings against using the word ICANN RDAP gateway? Okay, I don't hear any objections. We have to make sure that this is standardized or this language is used elsewhere. So it's a note for you, Aliza, to make sure that where we've used ICANN RDAP proxy before, we have to replace it as ICANN RDAP gateway.
Got it.
Okay, Aliza acknowledges that. All right. The next item is a question from Aliza and John. This is 3A, also on page 5. The question is whether we want to call it coordinating party or something or someone else. John is worried that coordinating party may not make sense. Do folks have a point of view? Don't all of you speak up at once? Okay.
Scott raised his hand.
Scott.
Thanks, Ram. Scott Hollenbeck here. Yeah, I think as I read this comment, it's not so much about the use of the word coordinating party here, but as John says, elsewhere in the document, there are places where we say coordinating party where we probably mean like ICANN. And so I think this use is okay, but we might need to pay attention to it elsewhere in the document.
Okay. So what I would like to do is I think in this particular instance for 3A, we leave it as is. Sorry, Jody, you had your hand up too.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
I think coordinating party is fine here, but if we're referring to just ICANN, then we should be changing it. So I agree with John on this, and to a certain point, what Scott was saying too. I'm just adding my opinion. Thanks.
Okay. Elisa, can you make sure to look at where else coordinating party is actually used in the document? And let's make sure that where it's used, it means ICANN, or it doesn't mean ICANN. What we may have to do is we may have to stay with coordinating party, but we may have to, in each instance, add in parentheses, example, whatever. So can you please take that as an action?
Yeah, I got that.
Okay, great. So I will not resolve this comment. There's an action on it for you, Elisa. Let's go back up to page 4, and let's go to one small d. All usage of RDAP and any other associated systems must use TLS for HTTPS. Gustavo has suggested a change in the language. He's saying that must use TLS for HTTP, parenthesis HTTPS, following applicable recommendations in RFC 7525. So that's really an add-on. It's a friendly edit, if you will, following recommendations in RFC 7525. Any objection? Okay, no objections on that. We're done with that. And Elisa, please add a reference to RFC 7525 in the appropriate place, okay? Let's carry on. We are now at the coordinating party. Let's go to page number 6, and then item 6. Small c. There is a must, and Francisco is questioning whether the must should be changed to a should. The specific context here is the gateway must log each query. We're saying the query logs should not be publicly available, and ICANN must publish aggregate statistics of queries for non-public data. Now, I recall we had a bit of a discussion about this, and we, from the TSG, the members, we had thought, i.e. non-ICANN employees, I think had thought must was appropriate. But this is a valid question, so open for comments. Andy.
So I understand that it can be seen as a policy question, but I think from the point of view of the people on the TSG, this is one of the things we think is vitally important. Because we're trying to address more than just access to the non-public data, we're trying to address the integrity of the system. And so I think I understand how it might be seen as a policy decision, and it could be that it doesn't get implemented this way, right? That someone could ignore that must. But personally, I don't want someone coming back going, well, the TSG they did this and no, they're never publishing the logs, and ICANN's not accountable for this. At least I can, with a clear conscience, say, well, we recommended that they must do this.
Right. Thanks, Andy. I'm with you. Francisco?
Yes, I completely understand what you're saying, Andy. All I'm saying is just because of what you just explained, it can be just ignored, and the specification is as good as it is. This is a recommendation from the TSG. And as such, it should be a should, not a must. It is up to the policy people to decide whether this is a thing that has to be done or not. TSG is simply recommending that this is done. That's why I think that should be reflected as a should, because you guys are recommending that this is done, but you don't have the authority to make this happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense to me, Francisco. However, I think actually to follow that logic, if the policy folks have final say in what is actually going to be implemented, then as technical people, the only thing we can do is to be as forceful as possible and actually make this a must. And the policy people can say, bah humbug. But as far as, what is the appropriate and high integrity thing that we recommend, I think it should stay as a must. Murray?
Maybe I can suggest a compromise here that we not step in the policy space, but we simply say that the system must technically be able to produce these reports. We can't say anything about publication because then we have to say where and how it gets published. But we can say that the technical components of the system need to be orchestrated such that it's possible to produce those numbers.
What do folks think of that? I guess I'm concerned that having the ability is not what we are looking for or what we are advocating for, Murray. I think what we are advocating for is some level of transparency and some level of accountability. And having the ability does not translate to that accountability or transparency measure. So at least where my head is at is if we believe that the measure of accountability / transparency is important, then we should stick with must rather than should. I see Andy.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, Ram, and I just to put a slightly finer point on it, I kind of can view this as like the IETF views security considerations in that the IETF can put out protocols that don't have or have weak security if it wants to, and just say, well, it's up to people to understand what they're doing here. But the IETF never takes that stance. It actually takes a much stronger stance in that we don't want to produce things that are going to cause harm. And so it puts in security considerations that are very forceful and very, very upfront about, you must do this. So I think from an integrity of the technical system, I think this should remain a must.
Thanks, Andy. Murray?
What I had was just purely a suggestion to try to break the logjam. I'm actually not uncomfortable with what either of you proposed.
Francisco, you had your hand raised as well.
No, that was the my earlier comment.
Oh, that was an old hand. Okay. Would you be terribly uncomfortable, Francisco, if we stay with a must, Steve?
Yeah, thank you. I was trying to stay out of this, but we talked about logs early on. It's important that the system have logs, and it doesn't make any sense in a realistic world to say it has to have logs and then not say that they have to be processed and made available and so forth. I think we should treat logs as a first-class element of the system. And in response to questions being raised about, well, what about things that are too sensitive to log, my reaction has always been that's not the right way to deal with that. If a log entry is very sensitive, then treat it as sensitive and protect it properly with whatever access controls and storage requirements you need. But it's vital that the system be auditable, even if the audit process has to be fairly controlled. So I think we ought to make the logs necessary. And then if people have trouble understanding how to deal with that, we can help them work through the engineering and operational details. But I would veer hard over toward a strong requirement for audits, for logs and audits.
Thanks, Steve. So I'd like to stick with the current language that ICANN must publish aggregate statistics of queries for non-public data.
And, you know, Francisco, when it comes to implementation, you know, the policy groups may decide that that's not reasonable, et cetera. But from the TSG point of view, I think we would have discharged our responsibility to ensure that there is a proper measure of accountability and transparency that is put into our recommendations.
I understand. I just one last comment. Of course, this is up to you guys to say what it goes here. I just think this is weakening this document by having language that is not technical. It is fitting into the comments that people have made from the community that this is the secret cabal of people making policy decisions on access to non-public data. By having something like this that is clearly not a technical, clearly not part of the technical specification, I think we are fitting into that.
Thanks, Francisco. I have some bad news to share with you. No matter what we do, we're going to get criticized that we're a secret cabal making these policy decisions. So I think we're the best we can do is really all making sure that we're doing things in an open way and we share the information to the public. We're going to be subject to critique no matter what. I mean, you seem to feel strongly that this will actually weaken the document. So I take pause because otherwise I was going to say let's just stick with must and let's move forward knowing that that this is good. Hey Murray, I'll take you up on your idea. I'm happy to chip in.
It's pretty standard currency where I work. I see both sides of this. I'm not terribly worried about the document just vanished, but there it goes. I'm not too worried about the public criticism of we're putting some kind of policy requirement in a technical document. This sort of happens at the IETF all the time when the policy issue coming up follows naturally from the technical discussion, and I think that this does as well. If we really object to putting a must that feels like a policy thing, then you can mush it up and say you must be able to handle blah, 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 rather than saying you need a mechanism to publish, because must publish, to me, suggests that now we need to specify or at least provide guidance about how and where they would get published. And I'm prepared to punt on that completely. So, I'm going to step back and let the fight continue.
Thanks, Murray. Francisco, I'm going to leave it as is. Recognize your concern, but I'm going to leave it as is. Okay?
Yes, of course.
Thanks, Francisco. Let's go to 7a. Same type of issue. There's a must and there's a question as to whether it should be a must or a should. This has to do with the current requirement says there must be SLA commitments for all the service subsystems. And the suggestion is because there might be policy considerations that it should be changed to a should. I think actually to avoid a big fight, I think the same logic applies here. In our discussion in the TSG, we had said that, you know, if you put service subsystems, if you stand up service subsystems, I remember Tomofumi making a comment, you know, if you have some subsystems that are, at least in network topology, far away from each other, we may have performance considerations and performance issues. So I think having SLA commitments is actually a good recommendation. And from my perspective, that should also stay as every service subsystem must have an SLA commitment. And I think that's a pretty strong but also a reasonable statement from us as a technical body. Does anybody have a differing point of view on that? Okay. I don't see anyone disagreeing on that. So let's Let's mark that one as done. Let's go to the next one. 8c. This is from Murray. Is it possible to require MFA from an automated system, say something validating domain names of people signing up for a service?
Yeah, what I'm thinking of is anything that is trying to do automated evaluation of a domain being presented as a credential, and how would a system like that present an MFA?
Mm-hmm. And Tomofumi's response to you, Murray, was it doesn't have to be MFA. If it's not appropriate, then you have to you adopt whatever is the best thing for that piece of the system. So the way I read it, Tomofumi's response is MFA is not being required.
Oh, that's correct. Okay, yeah, I'm satisfied with that. It sounded like it seems like a lot of these are like hardware tokens, and so I guess a hardware token might work for an automated system too. As I read this the first time, perhaps not sufficiently caffeinated yet, this felt like a bunch of human requirements, and I want to keep in mind that there may be actors in this system, I guess requesters is what we're calling them. Thank you again for getting rid of the word supplicants. That not everything in here is going to be human, and so I want to, that just felt very like it was leaning that way. So that's fine, we can resolve this one.
Okay, great. Thank you. Then there's a question on D8D, same question as before. There must be a mechanism for reporting breaches of data privacy and security, for instance, to be in compliance of Article 33 of the GDPR. And the question is whether this should be changed to a should. And on this one, I have to say I'm okay with changing it to a should, but I'm happy to be persuaded to stay as a must. I don't see a problem changing it to a should. Andy is okay with should. Benedict is okay with should. Crocker is typing. Hollenbeck is typing. Hollenbeck is okay. Jody is good with it. Okay, so I will change that to should, and I think that resolves that topic. Number 10. So the next item has to do with, updates to actor model description, pros and cons to make them judgment free. Francisco, can you speak to this?
Yes, so I got the action item from a call or two ago to update the actor model models 1 to 4, the description.
Right, so we're on page 8. We're starting on page 8 right now, actor models.
Yep.
Back to
so
you.
I went through each of the four models and tried to remove anything that looked like a judgment call and trying to just describe what the models are and what are the pros and cons of each of them. So that's what you will see if you scroll down a little bit more, Yvette, to where it says Actor Model 1. That's where you will start seeing the actually, I made an edit just before that, which you can see that says each of the following actor models are supported by the proposed solution in Section 8. Which model is best depends on policy requirements. So that's the first edit that I made, just pointing that policy is what will ultimately decide which model to use, and the technical model supports those options. And then we go into each of the models. I don't know how you want to go about this, Ram.
So let's go with the first comment that you were pointing to, Francisco. This is on page 9, right?
Yes.
And the comment has to do with if you have only one party implementing the authorization policy. Is that the comment you're talking about?
I don't think there are comments here. It's more about whether people are okay with the edits I made on the actual model 1. I deleted a bunch of text and added a few more.
Why don't we take two minutes and let people read what is in actual model 1 and then I'll pose the question whether people are comfortable with the edits that Francisco has made. I'm okay with ACRA Model 1.
Andy was pointing out that there was something that didn't read correctly. Andy, can you speak to that?
Yeah, so there was a sentence in there that does not suffer. Was that an ACRA Model 1 or ACRA Model 2? Where was it? I read it and was like, what? Yeah, so in regards to authorization, this model does not suffer to potential inconsistency, does not suffer from potential inconsistency. I wasn't arguing with the logic. I was just arguing with how it read. Yeah, I guess that's better.
What about the deletion of the last sentence in ACRA Model 1?
So I believe, I mean, we actually said this in our meetings several times that it's just potentially burdensome to ICANN, but there was some pushback that we shouldn't put that language in our document. I mean, okay. We're only on record of saying it in the recordings, so.
Is it not the truth?
I'm not gonna say it again.
Is it not the truth, or at least our opinion?
I mean, it's my opinion, and I'm not gonna fall on my sword over this sentence, but I mean, we did say this, so.
Right. Because I read that sentence and I think it's just an observation. I mean, if you want to weaken it a little bit, we could say it would likely encumber ICANN and that. So I would recommend we keep that sentence. Okay, no other comments coming in on ACRA Model 1. How about ACRA Model 2? Okay, no comments or questions on ACRA Model 2. How about ACRA Model 3? I'm good with ACRA Model 3. How about 4? I'm good at 4 as well. Okay. Okay, we have consensus on all of that. So let us then go to page number 11 under the second paragraph under section 8. Mutual TLS authentication will be used to secure RDAP communications between ICANN and the contracted parties. Francisco is suggesting changing that language to say mutual TLS authentication will also be used in any other communication between subsystems. So not changing, but adding. All right, I added that. You guys okay with that? Okay. Next, Francisco is suggesting to have a terminal. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, Francisco. Ram. I just wanted to point out one thing that I just realized this morning in the paragraph above of the one we just discussed, the first paragraph in Section 8. That talks about the authentication methods to be supported. I'm suggesting to add that other authentication methods may be added once approved by ICANN or something like that, thinking that at some point we may want to support, FIDO standards or something like that, not just passwords and certificates, right? And without this suggested edit, it reads that the only things we can support is passwords and certificates. The sentence you added, Ram, is probably goes before the previous sentence, because the previous sentence is talking about the OpenID Connect and OAuth 2.
I'm talking. I think I may have lost audio.
I'm still here.
Elisa, if you could just bookmark the section that I'm marking out other authentication methods to requirements, and just go back to Francisco and ask him to take another look at it, because I can't hear. If Francisco is speaking, I cannot hear him.
Oh, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I didn't realize you were asking me to do something. I didn't hear anything.
Sorry, I was asking whether, you know, I changed the location of that sentence, and I was asking whether you are okay with that change or whether you have some other place you'd like to put it. And I thought, we'll just leave it with you. We've added the sentence, we've addressed the issue, now it's a matter of placement, and I think you can handle the placement issue independently. You don't need the whole group for it.
Okay.
All right. Next, Francisco, you had suggested to have a terminology glossary section of definitions or references, as the case may be. That's going to be, what I would suggest is that we add a section that says glossary, but I don't think we have time to actually fill it in. But by the time we actually publish the final document, we will have an opportunity to go add that in. So if we could just add a section there, I think that addresses that particular question or suggestion that you have.
Okay, that works.
Okay, now let's go to page number 12. 8.2 sub 1, which has to do, sub 1, let's see here. I don't see a problem with sub 1. How about sub 2?
Well, on that one was the reason. It simply says the client validates the authorization code. It doesn't say how.
Scott?
Yeah, Francisco, it doesn't say how, because the information about the how is in the reference. You know, references to OpenID Connect and OAuth. I didn't think that was a relevant level of detail for this particular document.
Yeah, why couldn't we say the client validates the authorization code as described in blah, 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 the reference? Just something like that.
We sure could. Like I said, I don't think it's the level of detail that makes a big difference, but whatever.
So this is a style issue. I don't see a problem with being redundant and adding a pointer to the reference material here. And so, you know, you could just put a footnote on with the word validate and put a footnote to the pointers for how it can be done. And I think that actually solves the requirement on both sides, Scott and Francisco. It doesn't impede the reading of the text, but at the same time, there's a reference.
Okay.
Okay, Elisa, can you take that as an action?
Yes, I got it.
Okay, great. Same thing with sub 4. I think on the tokens are validated. The same question, right, Francisco?
Yes. And the next one also in 8.2 section 4, there are two in that one. One is about the validation and the other indicates the result.
I don't think we need to specify how the indication is. That's specified in RDAP itself, right? I'm specifically reading, guys, the third-party authorized, this is page 12, RDAP query processing, the last paragraph. The third-party authorizer sends a response to the ICANN RDAP proxy that indicates the result of authorization processing. And I'm saying indicates result. How the result is indicated is already specified in the protocol, correct?
Yeah, this is actually outside of RDAP, is my understanding. So this would be something that we would have to come back and more concretely specify later. But Scott's the authority here.
Scott, care to opine? Ah, okay. So is this a placeholder then? We put a bookmark here and say, or a comment that says, must come back later and specify how to indicate?
I agree. Just to note that it's not the only place we're going to have to come back and be a little more specific. So,
do you have a list of the other places, either written down or in your mind, Andy?
They're not in my mind. I would have to go through the document, but I believe Scott has talked about them before, and we've mentioned them before. It's not a lot, but there's some stuff we will have to do, yeah.
Okay. All right, Elisa, this indicates is a homework item that we have to go and work on.
Is that before we publish this iteration or when you
No. We will just publish it with a comment on it that says more work has to be done here.
Got it. Thanks.
I mean, we are explicitly publishing this to the community, and we're going to be saying this is work in progress. We're close, but we're not all the way there. Okay. Then let's get to page 15. Francisco is suggesting that we ought to exercise care in us using the words must, should, etc. in the considerations for the community and organization section. Now, from my point of view, that particular, we should look at where the must and the shoulds are, but again, we've already, I think, talked about SLAs, we've talked about ICANN reporting, etc. So it feels to me like we're saying these are our recommendations. Our recommendations are that there must be SLAs, and it's up to the community to consider and the organization to consider what they want to do with it. So I'd like to just leave it as is if others don't have an objection. Francisco.
Thank you, Ram. The point I'm making here is slightly different to what I mentioned before. The previous section, it was the requirements sections, and I was suggesting that certain requirements are not for us to decide, but this is different. This is the Section 9 is the section where we punt to the to others to look at certain issues like data retention and the content of the SLAs, et cetera, et cetera. So my point here is that we cannot put requirements on others. We just recommend people to do certain things. So having a must, an all caps must, it doesn't seem correct. All of these are just things that we are pointing over people that should be considered when, for example, developing policy. That is the point I'm trying to make. By the way, where we use recommends, that's not a word in the RFC 2119. The word there is recommended, so we will need to reword that if we still wanted to use that
keywords, that file of keywords. Thanks.
Andy?
I agree with that. We need to figure out some other words that's not, it's like recommended or something. But going up to the actual 9.2, the top there, that first sentence, I mean, all we're saying is it must be established. We're not saying who and whatnot, but this is kind of one of those statements that the TSG is saying, hey, in order for this system to have integrity and reliability, these things must be done. If they want to ignore it, that's fine. If they want to take it on, that's awesome. If they want to punt it back to us, that's their, I mean, they'll get what they ask for, right? So, whoever they are. But I think this is, you know, the must here with that be established right after it, it's kind of watered down as it is. But I don't think it's a big deal.
Thanks, Andy. Others? All right, let me poll. Benedict? The speaking can't hear you, Benedict. Ah, Benedict has been struck dumb. Francisco?
Like before, this is your call, guys, so.
Okay, got it. Gustavo?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with Francisco's comment.
Thanks. Jody?
I think it should be a must. I think that we should establish some kind of SLAs or that there should be something that we have to have an SLA. Thanks.
Thanks. Jorge?
I also agree with the must.
Mari? Scott?
Yeah, I kind of like the must. I mean, to Francisco's point, I mean, I get what he's saying, but we aren't making recommendations here, and I like the idea of making as strong a recommendation as possible.
Thanks, Scott. Steve?
I'm with everybody else. Must.
Tomofumi?
I'd say it's a must.
All right. We have consensus. It stays a must. And it's must uppercase, not must lowercase. All right. So then when I look at the document, I want to go to each one of you. I'm going to come and poll each one of you and ask you if there are other sections of the document that we need to go and spend some time on. Because then if we do, if not, then the only thing that is left is the executive summary and the conclusion. And I do not want to wordsmith that in committee. We'll get a couple of people to go look at it and then the rest of us go work on it. But let me go poll people here and ask if there are any other sections of the document that need to be reviewed. Tomofumi.
I don't have anything in particular.
Thank you. Crocker?
Nothing.
Scott?
No, I'm good.
Murray? Jorge?
Nope.
Jody?
I just had one question. I had one comment on 9.7. In the second paragraph, well, I guess it's the only sentence in the second paragraph. It's basically about Does the request also need to be sent to anyone that has requested the data? And this might be a legal question that we cannot answer. That's all that I was wondering about.
Can you say that again?
Sure. There's a, what it is it's saying that if ICANN receives a request to delete personal data, they're supposed to delete personal data. My question is, what about the people that have requested that data and that are now holding it? Does ICANN need to send out something to them to say you need to delete that data because this customer asked to have it deleted? Customer, I shouldn't say customer, this private citizen asked for it to be deleted. That's why I'm saying this might be a legal question that we can't answer. Is that something that needs to be added into here?
Yeah, I think we should flag that, and Lisa, if you could carry that forward to ICANN Legal and have them bring back a response to that. In the document that we publish, I think we should leave the comment as is so that the community is alerted that we're thinking about it.
Let me just offer a comment or two without a definitive resolution. If you try to entangle the people who previously requested, then it raises a couple of obvious questions, like what happens if they ignore you? And so you're just left with, well, we made an effort, and that's all there is to it. An alternative way to approach that would be to disclose who has previously requested the information, and that's already built into the system. And if you want to go a bit further, how far back do you have to keep track of the requests? One day, 1 hour, 100 years?
Mm-hmm.
So the legal side of it is, when people request information, what are their obligations in handling that information? There's nothing in the RDAP.
I agree, Steve.
Platform that gives you leverage on this, but so that really belongs elsewhere in policy discussion space.
Jody?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Steve. But I agree with Steve. I mean, this sentence is loaded with a lot of issues that may need to be discussed elsewhere in policy, and we may need somebody to step in and ask and answer these questions. Because I agree, Steve. You know, I don't know how long are we supposed to keep the data back. Can we just produce something that says, here's the people that have looked at your data, and then, again, how long do you keep that? You know, these are all great questions. I'm just not sure how to answer them.
There's some discussion about extension to RDAP, right? Various features that can be added.
Yes, I mean, I think that those are in the IETF, yes.
Is there a Men in Black extension?
No, I haven't heard of that, Steve.
Probably beyond our grasp, then.
Steve, where do you want to take it?
So basically pushing back on trying to add a requirement that people who have retrieved, anybody who's entities that have retrieved data in the past, are then going to be, at least within the scope of this design, subject to any kind of constraints, and that if people really want to go explore that, that's a much broader discussion that requires a legal framework the contractual framework anyway.
Fair enough. Thanks. I see Francisco and Andy's hands raised.
This is Francisco. I just was thinking this is really more of a legal set of questions, as people have mentioned. I wonder if this even belongs in this report. The legal obligations of ICANN will be looked at by the lawyers that ICANN has, just like the lawyers of the parties will look into the legal obligations that the contract parties, each contract party has. But I'm not sure what value this paragraph is adding. I will agree with Jody that maybe this is better to be removed.
It's easy to empathize with the idea that you want some way of deleting information upon request, but I think it's important to distinguish between that and having a actually effective mechanism about being erased from everybody's memory, sort of a complete. It's one thing to have the right to be forgotten, and another thing to actually make it work. And it's a big reach to actually try to make a system that would work that way.
Got it. Andy?
As many, many youngsters are finding out, once information is out there, it's extremely hard to be forgotten.
Yeah.
Andy?
This is Andy. Yeah. So I think this kind of goes beyond the remit of the group, and it's a much larger issue. I don't have a problem with the group saying, hey, this is an issue. But it's bigger than the pants we have. So maybe ICANN needs to study it, but it's a big issue, and it's far more policy than it is technical, if you ask me. So.
Thanks, Andy. Murray?
I think that it's reasonable for us, maybe not exactly here in the document, but it's reasonable for us to say we as a group anticipate this is something that this system or, you know, systems adjacent to it will need to deal with, and we suggest you not forget that without having to do any sort of technical work to lay out a foundation for accommodating it. But if we're doing all of this other GDPR stuff, it would be foolish to think that this won't come down the road somewhere, and that's the entire message, perhaps. Not that there needs to be any technical work done here, which means that it maybe needs to move out of 9.7, but it might be appropriate for an appendix or somewhere else like that.
Okay, Elisa.
Thanks. I think my point has generally been made by others, but I just wanted to chime in as well that I think this particular sentence gets to raises lots of other broader legal questions, which is a point we were trying to make, I think, Francisco and who was it, someone else also tried to make earlier. So for what it's worth, I'll chime in there.
Thanks, Elisa. Okay, Jody, I think that gets you an answer, or at least a path on this particular topic.
Yeah, I'm fine. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Anything else from you, Jody?
No, that was it. Thanks.
Thank you. Gustavo?
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yes.
So on the second paragraph on 8, I think that we should remove generally. I think it's minor, but maybe the group wants to chime in.
So this is section 8, proposed solution, second paragraph. The sentence says, the functional requirements not met by this method generally do not apply to interactions between ICANN and the contracted parties. You just want to say, do not apply to.
Yeah, I think generally. It's contra argument for what we're going to say.
I'm okay with that. Francisco?
I was confused. What was the agreement on the previous issue? Are we deleting the paragraph or are we doing something else?
I'll come to that in just a moment. Let's finish up on this one. We have a proposal to remove the word generally. Is there any objection? Okay. It's gone. So on the previous question, the question from Jody was not, or the suggestion from Jody was not to delete the paragraph. It was actually about whether a request to delete personal data should also be sent to anybody who has received the data prior. And that's a question that we cannot answer. It's a question that may be outside of our remit as well. So we're just going to leave that alone, Francisco. That's what we said. Francisco, any other issues?
So we're now into the miscellaneous, right?
Yeah, we're into, are there any other issues in this document that you'd like to raise?
We could go to 8.1. I had a question there probably for Scott or Andy. It says the authorization information association. That's
first sentence.
Yes.
Identity providers must be appointed and approved to perform client identification, authentication, and authorization information association functions. And Francisco's question is, isn't this a function of third-party authorizers? Who wants to address that? Scott?
Sure, it can be. Remember, we've got different models, though, that describe different actors playing in those roles. So, let's see. I mean, look, you know, even a third-party authorizer is ultimately performing a function that OAuth and OpenID Connect describe as identity provider functionality. So, I don't know. It all depends on how you want to word it.
So the model we're describing has the separation between the authorization and authentication. I'm just confused. What are we saying this function is? Is this for the party doing the authentication or the party doing the authorization? These sentences seems to be saying that the party doing the authorization will, authentication will be us doing authorization information association. I'm just asking, in the model we are proposing, is this correct or not?
In one of the models we are describing, it can be described this way. In another of the models we are describing, it could be changed to say that, you know, like the identity providers described in the picture perform the identification authentication functions, and the third party authorizers, or whatever term we use, perform authorization information association functions. So, as I said, we can word this however we feel appropriate.
So, Scott, I'll put you on the spot and ask if you can take that on, and if you think there is something more appropriate that should be added, if you could think about it and add it, you could do it now or you could do it later.
Gustavo? Let me take a crack at it right now.
You got it. Gustavo?
Oh, I think that you are making the change. That will solve my issue. Yeah, with that change, I'm happy.
Okay, got it. Francisco,
right,
anything else for you?
Take a look at the text in there right now.
Thank you, Scott.
I like that. I think that resolves your question there, Francisco.
Yes.
Good. Anything else from you, Francisco? Thank you, Scott.
Nothing from me, thank you.
All right. Benedict is in a voice-restricted locale, but if you have anything you'd like to bring up, Benedict, please type it in. Andy? Scott, is that
Yeah, I've listened.
Sorry, Andy, go, give me just a moment. Scott, is that an old hand? There you go. Okay, back to you, Andy.
No, I don't have anything.
Okay. So, need volunteers for the executive summary and the conclusion.
This is Murray. Since I did the conclusion, I can hack on that too. I think I mostly saw edits from Francisco that were minor. They seemed like minor wordsmithing to me. Is there anything that needs discussion in particular?
No, I don't think so, Murray. What I'm really suggesting is that we need a small team, 2-3 people, to look at the conclusion and to look at the executive summary to say, you know, to wordsmith, edit, et cetera, and wrap it up because we've got to finish this work in the next 24, 36 hours and get it out to the community. We're a bit behind already.
So that you just want to make sure that the two of those things match, essentially?
Yes. Yes.
I can do that. Or I can work with someone on that, or I can take a run at it myself, but given the limited time, I should probably have eyes on what I'm doing.
Okay, so let me assign work then. Murray, primary editor for the conclusion, primary author for the conclusion, and can I ask Jorge and Scott to review what's written in the conclusion? And on the executive summary, can I ask Andy to be the primary author on that and request, or Andy and Scott maybe, to be the primary authors on that and request that Jody and Jorge and Tomofumi be reviewers on the executive summary?
So, Ron, this is Andy. I have a question.
Yeah.
So the executive summary is written, so I'm confused. What are we supposed to be doing with it?
What I'd like to do is, there is an executive summary that's been written. I want to make sure that the executive summary actually reflects what we at the TSG believe is the executive summary of the work we've done.
Oh, okay.
Yeah?
I'm good with that then.
Yeah,
okay.
Same here.
So Andy is, okay, thanks Scott. So Andy and Scott, primary authors, reviewers, Jody, Jorge, and Tomofumi. Can you please work to turn this around within the next 24 hours, folks? Thank you. And Elisa, if you could, in that same 24-hour time frame, if you could please go through the document and take care of all the other little nit type of comments, because what I'd like to do is tomorrow I want to go do a full review myself, but when I see that review, all I'd like to see is a close to final document that if there are comments, those are comments that we intentionally want to expose rather than, you know, comments about whether there should be an Oxford comma or not.
Yes, I can do.
Okay, great. Let's switch our attention to our plans in Kobe. First of all, I hope you've all made reservations, and I'm happy that you're all coming. Murray, are you going to make it?
Unfortunately not. I have to be at a work function in London, so I will happily travel the exact opposite direction from everybody.
Slacker. Okay. no trouble. We'll meet you there. Tomofumi has promised some excellent karaoke when you're there, so you're going to miss that.
I should add that if you do have any meetings that I can call into, or if any of those sessions are live streamed and I'm able to participate remotely, let me know, please. There's only something, the only obligation I have, I think, is all day Wednesday and a half-hour meeting Tuesday. Otherwise, I'm just sort of doing free-flowing, make myself available time to the staff and at the London office. So if you do have a meeting, then just please let me know when it's going to be, and I'll try to call in.
Fair enough. And you see the agenda coming up on the screen here, Murray. That's the Monday, 1300 to 1500 Japan time is the important session. It would be great. I don't know what it'll translate to you for you in London time, but that's an important session. If you can dial into that, that would be great. The face-to-face meetings with the various community groups on Sunday as well as on Tuesday, I think we're just going to pick subsets of the people from the TSG to go based on availability.
Right.
I think that's really and then the Wednesday session, you said you have something on Wednesday, right?
Yeah, pretty much all day Wednesday. If I can probably call in for an audio stream. I imagine ICANN is probably going to provide that.
Yes.
I can't participate by voice, then if I can set up, if someone can be on Facebook at the same time as me, or if we can be in some sort of chat service, then I can provide feedback proxied via one of you if we can arrange that. But, I mean, it's not critical. I can always just I have no doubt that this group that is going is going to be able to represent what the group appropriately. But if I have anything to add, that would be the channel that would probably work the best, I think.
All day Wednesday for you is middle of the night in Japan, I would think. It's like a nine-hour difference, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, so
I'll do my best.
Yeah, take a look, Murray, and Diana can help with the logistics on making sure that you get connected in via chat with one or some of us, and that can work perfectly well. Let's go back up, Yvette, in the agenda, and Sunday, 5 to 6:30 in the evening, we have. And I don't know if we're going to need all of the 90 minutes, but we have an invitation from the EPDP team to come in and speak with them. And I'd like to ask who would like to be part of that presentation group. Clearly, Benedict will automatically be there. There'll be an overlap there. Andy, will you be there in time to be present for Sunday?
That's questionable. If I can make it, I don't. I think, what, 7? That's 5 p.m. I don't think I'm going to actually be there in time. I'll be at best 2 hours later.
Okay. So neither Scott nor Andy will be there. Who else will be there? Who does not have a time conflict? How about George, Jorge, Crocker, Tomofumi?
Crocker will be there, but I'm not sure I want to be on the presenting end of it. Of this.
What about you, Jody?
I can be there, but I, again, same with Steve. I don't want to be on the presenting end of this.
Look, in most of these cases, I expect that I'm going to be the one doing the presenting, but I would certainly like to have some others on our team there with me so that
you know, when we get into specific details, it's not just the one voice they're hearing. That's kind of what my suggestion is. So if you guys are okay with it, then why don't we have Ram, Benedict, Jody, and Crocker for EPDP?
Works for me.
All right. Monday, 1:30 to 3 o'clock, we have the full TSG meeting with the community. In that meeting, here is what I'd really like to do. I'll make some opening comments, and I'll walk through, you know, not the history, but really set out what we intend to accomplish in this session. When we finish up on the presentation, what I'd really like to do is to pass the baton to several of the TSG members to walk through some of the key pieces. So, for example, I think assumptions is a key thing we should review with the community. I think certainly the requirements is another thing we should review with the community. And then the schematics that we've come up with, the diagrams, that's the third thing we ought to review with the community. To me, those are the three key things. And then there's a fourth thing, which is, you know, considerations for the community and the organization. I can take that one, or someone else can take that one. But to me, those are the four major areas we ought to be covering. What I would really like is for one of you to put your hand up for each of these sections to kind of lead the TSG through that into the community. So can I ask for volunteers on that? So in my mind, I'm thinking assumptions is one, requirements is another, the schematics is a third, and then considerations for the community organization, including security, et cetera, is a fourth. So can I ask for volunteers? Scott?
Hey, Ron, this is – oh, sorry.
Andy,
Scott.
Yeah.
Ron, when you say schematics, so what are we talking about?
I'm talking about the diagrams that you've got.
All right. Well, I drew it. I'm guilty. I'll take that one.
Okay. Andy?
Yeah, I was gonna say I'll do whatever section you want to assign me. So pick one.
I can try to do the assumptions.
Okay, Crocker assumptions, Andy requirements, schematic,
a little
Scott.
Bit of hand holding in advance.
I'll set it up, Steve, for you before we get into assumptions. I'll go through, you know, some of the core things that we're trying to do. What about the, sorry, before I get into, Scott, when I'm saying schematics, to me that includes walking through proposed solutions. So it's really section 8 that I'm thinking of when I say schematic, okay? Just to be clear.
Yeah, sure. No problem.
Okay, got it. And then considerations for ICANN community and the ICANN organization. Who wants to take it? Gavin wrote the considerations. Shall we assign it to him? Oh. Benedict has already self-selected for that. Do you care, Benedict, that we give it to Gavin? Okay, considerations, Gavin. And Elisa/Diana, could you please make sure Gavin knows that he has been volunteered?
Yep, we'll put it in the notes, and we'll reach out to him separately.
Okay. I think we have what we need on the main workshop session. I think the idea is to run this like a panel, and I'll play moderator in that panel as questions come from the community. I think the intention, at least my intention, is that in a 90-minute session, that our presentation should take no more than 45 minutes, and then we reserve the rest of the time for community comments, and that might be a good model to finish the session early if there are not many comments. Then let's get to the session with from Tijani. There's a high interest session on GDPR, but there's a request from Tijani on ME space. Elisa, can you speak a little bit to that? What the request is and what the conflict is?
Actually, I think Diana can cover that. Diana, could you?
Diana, can you cover that?
Hi, yes, this is Diana. Basically, the Middle East space session is only running from 1615 to 1645. And at the same time, the high interest topic GDPR session is running. And so Tijani has not come back with any other time slots during the week. He basically just wants it during their session, which is conflicting. So I'm just not sure we're not sure exactly what's required on the high interest topic GDPR session. There has been discussion that the TSG could be one of the subject matters discussed there. So we're just not certain if it's going to be realistic for any of the group members to leave the session to speak at the Middle East space session.
So the suggestion is that we write back to Tijani and regret that, you know, we will not be able to be there, but we're happy to provide a written presentation or a written thing to them if they want, just because of the conflict with the high interest session on GDPR.
This is Diana. I'll put that as an action item.
The other option is that we ask, perhaps we ask if Jorge I don't know. Just leave it this way. Just leave it that way. Okay, let's go to the 12th of March with the GAC. My hope is that all of you will actually be there, and that the presentation in terms of who is presenting, I think the key people I'm expecting, will be me and Andy and Scott. I expect will be the key presenters of the model and the solution, etc. So again, I think what we're going to do there, guys, is we'll riff off of what we did the prior day, and we'll not go through the assumptions, we'll not go through the other considerations, we'll jump straight to introduction, the requirements, and the proposed solution. Okay?
I have a question. This is going to be shorter than our other engagements. And I'm wondering if that actually matches. It may match how much time they've allocated. I don't know if they're going to be able to absorb it and deal with it within that time frame. But we can certainly package it up and fit.
Good point, Steve. I'm going to come to the presentation deck. I'm thinking there are going to be two presentation decks. One is the full-scale proper one for the Monday session. And then we're going to have, I think, a 6 or 7 slides max deck that we will present to each of the community groups. That's the way I'm thinking of it.
Actually, the more I think about it, the more I remember having to do this years ago with SX stuff, and I think your approach is exactly right. It can be cut down, and you get the main points across, and they sit there, and they will benefit from it, and then over time, they'll absorb more and more.
Right. Okay, great. registrar stakeholder group. Again, I think we for Tuesday, what I really like is for the whole team to be present for all of these meetings. I think that's the appropriate thing to do. And we just stick with the same presenter group. I mean, that's the core that we want to present. That's the same message we want to present everybody. So if Andy and Scott, you guys are okay with shouldering the burden on Tuesday in those sessions, then, you know, we'll just be a trio that can do the work there. Okay, very good. Wednesday is our closed meeting, and then Wednesday night, Tomofumi is going to regale us. And I note for those who are interested, I note that Wednesday is yet another night filled with conflicts. There is a technical experts group, cocktails, that is also being held in that evening. I'm looking to bail out of that, and usually I'm in that, but I'm looking to bail out of that and get to the TSG dinner. And I'm wondering, Elisa / Diana, if you could ask whether Yoron would like to join us on Wednesday evening for dinner.
This is Diana. Yes, we'll talk to him about it.
Okay. Great. Now, from Benedict's question, if there is a question from the high interest in the high interest session, if there is a question or a request to be presenting or something like that, again, in my mind, I'm thinking it's. Benedict, do you want to be the person in that group, you know, representing us? Or Tomofumi, do you want to be? Jorge, what would folks? Okay, Benedict says he's happy to attend the high interest session as well. Okay, so I think we have that planned. Now, if you can switch to there is a slide deck that is on the Google Drive. I don't want to go through the slide deck, but I'd like to give a couple of pieces of homework. There are four people on the workshop day. There are four people who have pieces to go and present. I'd like to take I'd like to ask you to add to the deck that is there currently. I'd like, so Steve on the assumptions, Steve Crocker on the assumptions, Andy on the requirements, Scott on the solution, proposed solution, and then Gavin on the considerations. In Gavin's absence, can I ask for someone else from this who is present here who can look at considerations and add slides to this deck? Can I ask you, Murray, if you will have some time in the next, day or two to just look at the considerations and stick that in?
I think so. The executive summary and the conclusions probably won't take too long. So, yeah. Could someone sort of summarize that?
Why don't I do it a different way, Murray? I'll let me load up, Jody and Jorge, can you add the considerations slides to the deck?
I can give it a shot. Sure.
Okay. And then you want me to go through them?
I'll just take that burden off of you. I mean, we have to all of
okay.
us go through the deck anyway, but
I
was looking at who to ask and, I was asking you, but I think you already, I forgot that you have these other two things. So why don't we just give it to Jody and Jorge?
Okay, thanks.
All right. Thank you. Could I ask for the slide deck to have that complete by Thursday evening, if possible, so that we have Friday to review, Friday, Saturday to review it before we get into presentations on Sunday to the EPDP group. So Thursday evening deadline for the slide deck, folks. And what we want to do is that when we finish the full slide deck, all we need to do is to pick just the requirements, solutions, and the introduction pieces, and that'll be the truncated slide deck that we present to the various stakeholder groups. So, Elisa, I think that should get us to a proper plan.
That sounds great.
Okay. What else do we need to discuss, folks, before we wrap up our call? Let me poll. Andy?
I'm good.
Benedict? Francisco?
I'm good.
Gustavo?
I think we're good.
Jody?
I'm good, thanks.
Jorge?
I'm good.
Murray?
Other than my homework, I'm good.
Scott?
Nothing else.
Steve?
I'm good.
Tomofumi?
I'm good, thank you.
Diana?
Nothing to add, thank you.
Elisa?
I think we're in a good place.
Okay. We are done. We have moved the ball forward the way I think we need to. I look forward to seeing most of you in Kobe, and safe travels. And Francisco, I hope everything goes well with the baby.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, folks.
Bye. Thanks.
Take care.
Bye, Ron.
Thank you.